Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Okay, thank you, Brian. As always, that's our mentor, Brian Brown, doing our introduction. We're a little bit behind the tech eight ball this morning because we've got our main man, the guardian of the galaxy, Bruce Hallman, is away today, so we're kind of flying blind here on our own. Susan, I see. Are you here? I guess you are.
I am here.
Hey, there you are. Yay. Okay, Susan's here. And Michael, you're here.
I am here.
Yeah, Michael's here. And Kevin. And Kevin. Kevin? Are you here, Kevin?
I'm here. I stumbled into this Zoom meeting. Am I in the right place?
I think you are.
Oh,
okay. Well, since we're a little bit, and we're missing Lynn, we're trying to figure out how to get her on board here. I'll tell you what, if you guys want to take off and introduce yourselves and start with the show, and Susan, you might get us started. I will see if I can locate Lynn and get her aboard. Sound like a plan?
I am trying to send her the coordinates for this meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, Michael, do you want to get going?
Sure.
All right.
This is Michael Shook. You've heard my voice before. Gosh, how long have I been on this thing? Too long, some would say.
And if you're really Michael Shook, why does your screen say Chet?
That's a long story that I won't bore you with, but it has to do with rhinoceros and some childhood things. Yeah.
Do we really want it? I don't think we want to know, Michael.
It's nothing obscene or anything, mind you. It's just it's just one of those things. So I'll let it go at that.
We wouldn't have assumed any obscenity, curiosity does rage in my brain right now.
Well, that's good. That shows a bright intelligence there, Kevin. You know, curiosity. That's
I'm writing a story now about a rhinoceros named Chet.
Oh,
I can see it.
Just on the spur of the moment, they're like that.
Yeah, let's talk about Chet the rhinoceros.
Well, so we're not going to go there a lot. But now that you said that, I'm just going to mention that I have, I think, our listener can't see it, but there is a huge painting on my wall.
Is.
Quasi abstract of a rhinoceros, and I have about eight sculptures of rhinos in my office here, in addition to multitudes of bird feathers and a baby crocodile head, a real one.
Ew.
And no, it doesn't smell or anything. It's really cool, and a number of books on rhinos. So there you go.
All right.
Well, I'm sure glad we got that cleared up. I'm sure our listeners going, what the heck is going on today with Brown Briefly?
Rhinos to the White House or maybe perhaps introductions.
There you go.
All right. I'd like to introduce our Zoomologist and the guy who's pushing all the buttons over there, Truman O'Brien at KVSH, who is also the leader of the tech team at Voice of Vachon. Maybe you don't want to admit that right
Boy,
now.
At this point, I'm not sure.
Damned by faint praise.
Yeah.
And also on the screen with us in Zoom land is Kevin Jones, leader of Indivisible Vachon, writer of the newsletter, and God knows what else. What are you up to, Kevin?
You know, all I have to say is I made it to this meeting, but even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while. So.
Must mean you have a good nose.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that. We are multi-sensile beings. So I will say, though, the one thing that I do know is that we will have our third Resistance Cafe. They're Thursdays at 3 o'clock. And we have opportunities not only just to get together and chat about the, you know, the work activities of the day and what the heck is going on in our current government, but we also write postcards, we make phone calls to voters, we send text messages to let them know that there's an election coming up, just in case it happened to slip past them. So you can go out to indivisiblevashon.org and find out about how to get involved with that if you'd like.
Nice, thank you. And our newly discovered zoologist and gardener, philosopher, sound effects maven, and all-around great guy, Michael Shook. Are you still running for president?
You know, I am. I'm using the stealth approach. I figure at the last minute, make the big reveal. Since my plan to have our listener call five people, you may recall this from over a year ago, call five people, those five people each call five people. Well, in a matter of a month, there would have been millions who would have known about this. But evidently, I did not put forth a progressive enough or enough resolution in my resolutions. So I have to say at this point, I am a little discouraged.
Ed, listen, with Kanye running now, you know, man, it really makes a race tough for you, Michael.
There you go.
You know, come on. You got to really think about that. Yeah, Kevin.
Well, I was also thinking you might have an option, you know, as a vice presidential pick.
Oh.
Although there's a gender problem now, right?
That's
not working. Yeah. But while stealth has worked well for the military, I don't know that it's a proven strategy for presidential campaigns. But that's not, you know, we can all be surprised. We were 4 years ago.
Boy. I've done a couple of parts on the stage in drag. I'm not sure that I fooled anyone into thinking I was female.
I think the hair might be a problem for you, Michael.
And I would, you know, Susan Rice has been touted here.
Oh yeah,
and it's a fantastically capable person, obviously, and I think that would be really cool. Karen Bass is someone I heard a profile on the radio, I think on KUOW the other day, when they were talking about some of the candidates, and I just caught part of her profile, and wow, that woman has got some serious political chops, and got praise from, if you can imagine this, from a couple of Republican members of the House who said, she really knows her stuff, and she knows how to get things done without being vindictive about it. Or shutting people out. And I thought, wow, you know, that's a pretty good deal there. So I don't know.
Yeah, that can be a challenge to manage. Although I will say that I did see Representative Presley was on the news the other day, and that did validate that hair is optional.
That's right.
Gender and politics. Yeah. So the doors are opening.
Is that for the female politicians as well as the male?
Yeah.
If you saw her discussion about I can't remember the name of the person who insulted Representative
Yoho.
Yoho.
How could you forget that? Yoho.
Seems to resonate. She was taking exception to that, as we all should. And she was sans hair, which I think is a condition that she has, a medical condition. But nonetheless, she's certainly a capable representative.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Anybody else got any ideas about who Biden might be leaning toward, has anyone heard other things about there was a list a couple of weeks ago of about 8 people, I think, maybe even more.
It looks like Stacey Abrams fell off the list for some reason. I was kind of disappointed at that, but I love Kamala Harris. However, people are saying she's got too much baggage from her stint as California's attorney general.
Kind of the same deal with, she already dropped out, but oh my gosh, I'm going blank. My favorite Minnesota, Amy.
Oh, Klobuchar.
Yeah, Amy Klobuchar. Hey, there's Lynn. Lynn, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. And we see your pretty face right there on the screen. All right.
I don't know about that. Hey, I'm sorry. I apparently had the wrong number. I didn't get that new ID number for Zoom. So if that came out in an earlier email, forgive me, everybody. Sorry.
Well, there you are. You're here now. Our Georgia Peach, a.k.a. the Georgia Cracker, is with us. That's the voice of Lynn Kerrigan, retired social worker and ex-shortstop. Sounds like the Mariners could use you.
They could, couldn't they?
Hey, Lynn, it's the Mariners, you know.
This is Susan McCabe. We're talking about vice presidential potential for Joe.
Go ahead. I'll jump in when I get the rhythm.
Well, do you have any favorites?
I was kind of intrigued to hear he thought about Susan Rice initially, you know, who has certainly had a lot of experience. I have an emotional connection, I think, to Stacey Abrams, and had been kind of thinking she would be a wonderful soul to have on board. And actually, I've been liking Kamala Harris. So I don't know. What have y'all been talking about? Sorry to be late.
Well, apparently Kamala Harris has too much baggage from her attorney general stint in California. So she's no longer the favorite. Susan Rice is being touted as a favorite right now. Yeah. And Michael, did you bring up a different person?
Karen Bass. Yeah, she's the leader of the Black House Caucus, and like I say, what I heard about her was she's very sharp. I mean, obviously you have to be, everybody, there's no dull pencils back. Well, there's some dull pencils, but, but in a leadership position like she's been in, and she has an excellent reputation from her time in the California state legislature. So, someone who's great. Stacey Abrams, I'm surprised that you, Lynn, you have, and Susan both have mentioned her, and I'm a little surprised that she's not up there in the top two or three, because I would have thought she'd make an excellent vice president. Kevin, what?
Yeah, I think she, you know, she has an awful lot of emerging talent. I mean, certainly a lot of talent, which is becoming known to the American people, I should say, when I say emerging. But it was pointed out that she has not successfully run and been elected to high office. So there may be some qualms there. The other woman that I will mention is Val Demming, who is notable for being from Florida. you may have seen her during the impeachment trial, where she was one of the, I think, five people who went to the Senate trial to represent the concerns and the charges, you know, against the president. she also has a law enforcement background. I'm not sure the specific details, but I don't know that she was a prosecutor. I believe she might have been a police chief. And the notion that there's so much focus on policing right now that she has walked in those shoes, and as an African-American woman has seen maybe more sides of the coin than others would. So that's another name that's a possibility.
Gosh, this is great. And I hate to be pessimistic or anything, but if old Joe keels over, there's be a great, anyone, Val Demming, Karen Bass, Susan Rice, Stacey Abrams, I think those are four outstanding people. And I actually have to say I appreciate Kamala Harris too. I think sometimes it's easy to look back at someone's record and say, well, you should have done this when you were, you know, 8 years ago or something like that. Well, context of the times and the series of events that were swirling around at the time, maybe it's more important to ask, did the person, for me, to ask, did that person act with as much integrity as she or he was able to at the time, given the information at the time and the circumstances? Susan, what?
Well, I think the bottom line is, who can help Joe win?
Yes.
Really about who's going to win the election. And as I see it, none of these women have real national name recognition, in addition to which, I don't know how, you know, if we balance Joe from Pennsylvania with somebody from Florida, that's all East Coast, or with somebody from the Midwest. I'm not sure any of those women is from the Midwest. I really
Where is Susan Rice from, may I ask?
Born in Washington, D.C. I've got the whole scoop on her if you want it.
I'd love to hear a little bit more about her. I remember her from her diplomatic days with, what, Obama?
Yeah, she was born in 1964 in Washington, D.C. She was served as the 27th United States Ambassador to the United Nations from 09 to 13, and as the 24th United States National Security Advisor from 2013 to 2017. She's a graduate of Stanford University and the New College at the University of Oxford. Somebody's phone is ringing. Boy, did somebody get it?
Yeah.
Okay, whew. That was quite loud. Let's see, what else? She was President Bill Clinton's National Security Council from 93 to 97, Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs in the State Department from 97 to 01. She has a tremendous background. She was,
she's got the credentials.
Yeah, she was at the top of the list for a replacement to replace Hillary Clinton in 2012, but she withdrew. Because of controversy on the Benghazi things. So there you go.
Interesting. Well, I just hope that Joe makes his mind up pretty darn soon. I'd like to see him come out swinging and launch a little bit more of an assertive attack. I know that strategists will say that, you know, Trump is shooting himself in the foot every day, and so why not just get out of the way of that? But I also feel that we, on the Democratic, on the progressive side, really need to be speaking about our thoughts, our perspectives, our policies, our bigger ideas for how you unite a country, how you kind of get behind the values that we're trying to achieve. I think these are not short conversations, mm-hmm. and we're right in the middle of so many, you know, economic and social unrest things that I'd like to see some time for the candidates to actually kind of debate that. Kevin, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I agree, Lynn, and the good news is that I see more of Joe in the news these days. You know, the appearance at the John Williams line in state, it
John Lewis.
Did I say
Williams? Local martyr.
I have a friend named John Williams, and so he's sorry. And I'm glad he is still above ground and doing well. But yeah, the other thing, you know, I'm looking right now at the 538, who's sort of always, we recall them as saying there was like a 70% chance that Clinton would be in office right now. But Trump's average of polls, he's dropped down to 40%, and it seems to be lingering there. And the disapproval was up to about, you know, 56. The disapproval dropped a little bit back, but it's sort of holding steady now. So maybe, like you say, Lynn, now is the time before they reverse that trend and Trump's popularity creeps back up, that Joe really does need to come out and start making some more of these announcements.
I think it's really important too for Democrats to really give people something to vote for. And I was reading this the other day and I agreed with whoever was writing it, you know, something to vote for, something to support, something to get excited about, that's doable, that can be explained in some sort of pragmatic, rational way, and coupled with being against this other, these other forces that are so divisive and causing, I'm just going to go ahead and say, causing deaths and illness across the nation. Those are pretty strong words, but my goodness, this has been botched so badly. There's been such a gutting of so many of these different agencies, and the people running them are, you know, Trump donors. You know, the heck with anybody who's got any experience. Give people something to vote for. Truman, you got.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, you know, the thing that really bugs me about the botched process or lack thereof was the, I'm reading for all my right-wing friends that, you know, this, oh, this mask thing, it's so, you know, it's taking away our rights and, you know, it doesn't work anyway and blah, 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 blah. It just goes on and on and on and on. It's coming right from the top. And I just had my very, very, very close friend's mother and brother died yesterday from COVID.
Oh.
Yeah, both. Both yesterday.
Sorry, Truman.
So this, this stuff is real, man. And when I read this stuff of my friends saying, oh, this mass thing, you know, it's infringing on my rights, I get all over them and I just say, look, wear the mask. Come on. You know, get over it.
I was listening to them talk about the border closure between the U.S. and Canada. And on NPR, they said, well, no wonder they closed the border because, yeah. I don't know, they gave some statistic from yesterday or something that was something like, so Canada had 340-something new cases yesterday, and America had, you know, 15,000 or something. So we have got to stop congregating in bars and restaurants and all of that without masks and take this seriously. If we ever want to get out of this, we're headed for another big lockdown in this country.
Absolutely.
If we can't get people to voluntarily give up their rights for the sake of stemming the pandemic.
Absolutely. Kevin.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's really startling to me too, Truman, that, you know, people have to see other people either direly ill or pass away, right, to break through the rhetoric of you don't need to wear a mask, it's all a hoax.
Yeah.
And the notion that, you know, it's our leadership that's really prompting the kind of behaviors that you're seeing is just very frustrating.
Truman, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Sorry, Kevin, I interrupted you. Can I ask this of Truman?
Yeah.
I saw an analysis of that sort of mask resistance being located a lot in communities that really haven't seen very high COVID cases.
Yeah.
And so that they may not be seeing a lot of the deaths. And so, Truman, I'm curious, you know, where are the people that are contacting you living? Are they in areas?
No, they're all over. Areas. But one in particular is down in New Mexico, and they're really adamant about New Mexico being, you know, I mean, their governor is being, he's saying, oh, you know, we're not going to bow to the pressure and blah, blah, blah. And they're going, yeah, yeah, go, you know, this is, you can't infringe on our rights.
Politicized,
yeah,
it sounds
very
like.
Much so, yeah. Very much so. Kevin.
Yeah, all I have to say is no shoes, no shirt, no service.
There you go. Well, you know, you've got people like Walmart. You've got, I mean, companies like Walmart. You've got McDonald's now. You know, Costco. All of these big places are saying, "Hey, you don't come in without a mask." Period. And that's where it's got to go. You know, that's
yeah.
Unfortunately, the poor people on the front lines down there are, you know, really catching it from some of these idiots. But that's what has to happen, I think. That's the only thing that's going to work. So
it seems, it's just astonishing to me that this has somehow been equated with my civil rights. It's just, it's ridiculous. Susan, what do you think?
Yeah, well, we got used to the idea that our civil right of going shirtless has been violated. But I'd like to move on to the fact that the Attorney General is testifying before Congress today.
Right now.
And he has been notably working as Trump's personal lawyer. And apparently he's testifying before Congress under duress, and he released an opening statement, which I'd like to read for you guys. He said the grave abuses involved in the huge Russiagate scandal are a problem. And he also said... I'm scrolling down here from Heather Cox Richardson's latest.
That was his opening sentence, the grave abuses of the Russiagate scandal?
Yes.
Wow.
That he is now willing to sacrifice his reputation for the sake of Trump. He didn't say that, but that's clearly what's going on. Conservative commentator Tom Nichols noted that Barr has emerged as the de facto leader of the executive branch since Trump is functionally incapacitated. And apparently there's a new book out by someone named Eisen about Barr and his complicity as Trump's lawyer, essentially. So anybody have comments about what they expect from Barr and what they expect Congress to do with his testimony?
What is he actually testifying about, that Russian question that the Republicans have had ever since they glommed onto that as a way of deflecting, you know, the very serious nature of Russian interference in our elections? What's he testifying on?
I believe it is on that, on the Mueller investigation.
It's very broad. I had a chance to see Nadler's opening statements. And interestingly, the hearing was delayed because Chairman Nadler, on the way to the hearing, was involved in an automobile accident. And everybody's fine. He's safe. He's driven there, right, and everything else. But they had to delay for an hour. But his opening comment, he cited a dozen issues and concerns, federal troops in cities, clearing of Lafayette Square. I don't know if putting Cohen back in jail so he couldn't write his book, the Russia situation, a really lengthy list. But I'll tell you that the thing which really struck me in watching about an hour of it this morning is if you couldn't paint a clearer picture of two different realities being portrayed in those hearings. One is that, and Jim Jordan, who's now the minority lead of the Judicial Committee, he basically showed a video which apparently was not approved beforehand, which is required by the rules of the committee for 48 hours notice, but it was a lengthy showing of buildings burning, rioters, police being harmed, et cetera, rioting in the street, mayhem across the entire country. It was, you know, very effective and very disturbing. So they're clearly really trying to paint this picture of a dystopian country that the president needs to come in and the shining armor on the white horse and save us all. So that's kind of what I got out of it so far.
So, yeah, I have a quote from Trump who says the fake news media is trying to portray the Portland and Seattle protesters, in quotes, as wonderful, sweet, and innocent people just out for a little stroll, said Trump. Actually, said Trump, they are sick and deranged anarchists and agitators who are great men and women of law enforcement easily controlled, but who would destroy our American cities, and worse, if sleepy Joe Biden, the puppet of the left, ever won. Markets would crash, cities would burn, our country would suffer like never before. We will beat the virus soon and go on to the golden age better than ever before. I believe he's out of touch with reality completely.
Mm-hmm. It's just such a naked ploy to me. It's just so nakedly a return to the only slogan he's got left that he thinks could work at all with his base. That whole law and order, slogan has been around since Reagan abused it and Bush abused it.
And Nixon
abused it. And, you know, I think most of the country, in my opinion, has seen that he's just sinking further and further into utter defensiveness that is not a very accurate portrayal about what's going on with these protests. Truman.
Yeah, I have to tell you, on Sunday, I flew down to just south of Portland, and they have what's called TFRs, and I'll think of what that stands for in a minute. A temporary flight restriction. There we go. Whew. Had to dig deep for that one. But anyway, these are temporary flight restrictions they put around like sporting events and, you know, things like that, that they don't want airplanes flying around. Well, there's a little tiny, tiny, tiny circle southwest of downtown Portland, or it's actually in downtown, but from the center of the city, this little tiny circle, that's for the protest. I mean, it's tiny. I just found that fascinating.
The irony here is that here's the Republican Party again abandoning one of their bedrock principles of following the letters of the law that we're and instead they're flouting the law at every possible opportunity. You've got the Attorney General, as you said, Susan, acting as the president's personal lawyer and lead blocker for anything that might disturb him. You've got the guy, Jim Jordan is he's a representative from Texas, isn't he?
No, Oklahoma. Ohio.
Ohio, is he? Okay. And here he's flouting the long accepted rules of engagement in the committee hearings and meetings. And then this whole thing with the protesters. And I gotta say, it really ticks me off. I'm so frustrated and outraged that there is this small contingent of a bunch of jerks who think, oh, we're going to start a revolution and go break a bunch of windows in somebody's storefront. It's a Starbucks or something. Okay. It's not the president of Starbucks. It's some guy who owns a franchise who's trying to make a living there,
and lives in the neighborhood, most likely.
Yeah. It's reprehensible. And the worst part is then, of course, as we all know, it gives fuel to the fire so that they can excerpt just those little scenes and send in more troops.
But Michael, it's the same as the bad cop leaning with his knee on the guy's neck. It's one bad cop, and now they're getting all painted with the same brush. It goes both ways,
I read a story. I read a story in the paper today about in the Seattle Times, and they were talking with some of the guys who were in those positions and of the federal guys that were inside the courthouse, and people are shooting people shot the fireworks. You can light those mortar shells. Well, if you don't point them straight up, if you've got enough protection, you can kind of aim it and launch those things into a building, which is what people were doing, antagonizing them, baiting them. And, these guys are people. They're not superhuman. It's a stressful, stressful situation. And it's really disturbing to me.
I want to drop back real quick to just one thing Truman said. Truman, I hate to disagree with you, but on the other hand, I must. Derek Chauvin or whatever his name is was one bad cop. But honey, there are decades worth of research that talks about the disparities in policing with bias showing everywhere in arrest rates, in detainment rates, in prison sentencing, in releasing people from prisons, that are documenting the abuses that blacks have taken from the white justice system for years and years. And this knee on the neck of George Floyd was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah, I agree. But what I'm saying is that you can't judge all of the whole system by the acts of a few, and the same with the rioters, I think, you know?
Susan? Well, I think the system is indeed being looked at. I think that, you know, the whole idea of policing versus public safety, you know, is a good question. I think how to make people who are in the streets protesting that they have no rights included in the conversations of what needs to change is important. I agree that the anarchists have no business in the streets and they should have been arrested immediately. I don't know why the targeting is to peaceful protesters and not the people who are causing violence. That seems to have been a trend that I don't understand. Susan.
I heard a great podcast this morning with Chuck Ramsey, who is a former police commissioner for Chicago and advisor to Obama on criminal justice and a person of color himself. And he's my pick for the next attorney general after listening to him. But as a former police officer, his contention is that the entire criminal justice system needs to be reviewed and revamped. He also said that that a big part of what affects current policing is hiring in the first
place. Hiring what?
Hiring people is how careful they are about those that they hire, because with the power of police unions, you hire somebody and you've got them for 30 years. So he was really thorough in his description of what needs to change, and that it does need to change, but that it's also not going to be simple. If you cut police budgets in half, that's all personnel. So that money has to go to other organizations that can hire personnel who will be available 24/7, like the cops are, like mental health folks and social worker folks. So it's not a simple thing, but I loved his thorough attitude and his understanding. So if we can suggest to Joe Biden who should be in his cabinet, I think Chuck Ramsey should be the attorney general.
Yeah. And I agree totally, Susan. This is the time that we need to start fleshing out those kinds of suggestions and alternatives in a way that we can think about policing so that it's not just targeting one particular race, and that it's just for everybody. Maybe that's utopian, but I know a lot of good cops. I worked with a lot of police when I was at Harborview, and I would never tar all individuals for one individual's actions. But I have also seen the statistics about the system and watched how it works. And I think that it will take a 6-month commission or something to come up with some, you know, standardized processes that could be really useful in changing our dynamics in terms of how we include all people in our public safety. Kevin.
So the element of this conversation, which is, you know, frustrating to me, is even without deep fakes, right, with his like video manipulation and creating images of people doing things that they never did or saying things they never said, is you can still take just the reality of what you can capture on the street with video. And Michael, as you say, you can take that one little piece and distort the message, and how easy it is for the protesters to have their message essentially hijacked. And Lynn, you mentioned earlier that it's sort of like nakedly apparent what's going on. It's the only reference to Trump nudity that I think I would promote is the idea that hopefully, you know, people will see that this is happening and that, you know, that it is real news. Yes, these things are happening, but the way they're characterized is basically slanted significantly, right, to support a dialogue which really is not representative of what's mm-hmm. going on. And Rachel Bitekofer, who's called the election already months ago for the Democratic presidential nominee without knowing who it was, says that her assessment is based on where people are in terms of where the country is. Like if you're a high school educated white male, you're very likely to vote for Trump. If you're a college educated woman, you're very likely to vote for the DNC. And she says it's not so much about polling or all of these things we're seeing. It's about these really deeply held belief systems, which are hard to change. And mm-hmm. even the circus we're seeing now, she's claiming, is really not going to change that very much. So I hope it is nakedly apparent and people are really going to stick with their belief systems and their morals, which I think will give us a new president.
That's a good point. And it is clearly about controlling the narrative. You know, I think the Republicans in their little kangaroo court are now trying to control that narrative. And the only thing we can do is speak out as much as we can about the facts and encourage people to vote.
There's a Republican strategist who wrote a book years ago, and I thought these are key words that he said. It's not what you say that matters. It's what people hear. And that goes straight to the heart of the belief systems and everything and how people filter that and how people interpret the same sentence that someone else might speak.
Yeah, so, and that, boy, yeah, that filters it. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, for example, Michael, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, this is all happening on Trump's watch, right? The pandemic is happening on Trump's watch, the siding with dictators and, you know, removing us from agreements that have been in place since World War II, happening on Trump's watch. Anarchy in the streets, happening on Trump's watch. Is that going to convert into we need a new person to lead us? They're working desperately to make sure that they say, no, this happening on Trump's watch because what? Because this liberal Democrats are all taking over the world? You know, it's really hard to stretch that argument, but I think that's the argument they're trying to stretch.
Okay, folks.
We're about out of time.
We are out of time. See you all next week.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you.